This is Scott Merrick from the Vanderbilt University Center for Science Outreach. We're talking about frogs. It's all about frogs, and it's all about
frog sweat.
On the way to chat with Dr. Roland Smith, I found myself a little bit lost. However, once I did find her, I think we had a really interesting conversation on a really interesting topic, and I hope you'll enjoy this edition, number 13, of
Snacks for the Brain.
Dr. Louise Rollins Smith, what's happening in your world?
We've gotten a lot of attention just very recently.
You have.
Because I think people think it's a little bit quirky that frogs could have some kind of product that would be useful to humans. But frogs have this really unusual defensive system in their skin. They have unique glands called granular glands. And they produce and store in large quantities number of defensive products, including antimicrobial peptides. So when they're injured or threatened, they can secrete this material in large amounts on the skin. So this has been known for a long time, and a lot of these peptides have been isolated and identified and tested for their activity against bacteria. Much less was known about whether they would have activity against viruses. But they should, we thought, because of their properties. They have the kind of properties that might enable them to wiggle their way into membranes.
Right.
Viruses, many of them have an envelope which is very similar to a cell membrane. So it was thought that they might work against envelope viruses. And so we first collaborated with someone to test them on fish and frog viruses. And I probably talked about that at a departmental retreat, so that someone in a virology lab, an HIV lab, Dr. Unitmaz, came up and suggested we try to see if they could inhibit HIV.
So his bells and his whistles went off, and he came back to you.
And he's a really creative guy. He loves science and many aspects of immunology and HIV biology. So this kind of intrigued him as another avenue. And so he actually asked one of his postdocs to do the testing. And that's a very elaborate thing, that looking at products that inhibit HIV requires a specialized laboratory for containment, obviously. So I can't actually do these experiments in my lab. We can test them against frog pathogens.
Right.
We can't test them against human pathogens. So this had to be a good collaboration.
Now, that's because of scientific constrictions or governmental constrictions?
No, just health. So the HIV virus is, you know, a nasty virus, even though many of these experiments can be done with viruses that are genetically modified so that they're not really very infectious. Nonetheless, it has to be done in a laboratory set up to rigidly control possible
infections.
Exactly.
Sort of a dangerous sort of situation.
So a collaboration with their group, we provided the peptides that we had been testing against frog pathogens, and they did the experiments to see whether they could inhibit HIV. Turned out that, you know, we only tested about 15. Three of them were very active and protective of the host cells. I mean, some of the others were also active, but they killed the target cell. So they're not really useful.
Right.
But these three were very effective, protected the target cells, and they also had a unique property that they seemed to be, when HIV is transmitted, it's thought that there are a set of special cells lining the pathways where it would enter that pick it up, carry it off to the T cell. And it was thought that once it's picked up by these dendritic cells, these special cells, it was protected. It turns out that these peptides can also still get the virus once it's been picked up by these dendritic cells.
Wow.
So it's not as well protected as we thought it was. And that offers, you know, greater hope that the peptides would be available long enough to inhibit infection that starts, you know, at the very earliest point of infection where it's picked up by the dendritic cells. So that's what made this a little more unusual, a little more exciting, and that's why I got picked up by...
Well, the media's going sort of,
yeah,
sort of wild, you know.
Yeah, a little more attention
your field.
Than we usually get. That's right. So, you know, most of my work has been looking at the immune system of frogs and understanding how that protects frogs.
And you do have a National Science Foundation grant to study how frogs are...
Frogs are sort of in peril, just like humans are in peril. Frogs are in peril, and the causes have not been well understood until fairly recently. Fairly recently, there's been a fungus that infects the skin that seems to be causing very rapid population declines in places where this fungus has never appeared before. So places like Panama, Costa Rica, where these beautiful tropical frog populations have just been decimated. And the association seems to be with this skin fungus. So we have funding from the National Science Foundation to try to understand what are the immune defenses, do some species have better defenses than other ones that would explain why they can survive and others, you know, die.
Well, so assuming that your work with these peptides and these secretions leads to some sort of really hopeful situation for HIV sufferers and potential sufferers, protecting the population that provides those secretions is pretty darned important work.
Right, we think so. We think that we've only looked at a few peptides from a few species. There are bound to be a lot more frogs out there that have unique peptides that could be valuable agents to inhibit not only HIV, but other viruses, perhaps. So it seems really critical to focus attention on protecting the habitats and protecting the species that may have these secret compounds that would be useful to human beings. So there's sort of two sides of this story. You know, frogs need protection, and we need a better way to prevent the initial HIV infections.
Guess what? That's all for Snacks for the Brain this week. We'll get back together with Dr. Louise Rollins-Smith next week and hear a little bit more about how she got into science in the very first place. Cheers, and thanks for listening to Snacks for the Brain.